Today's Amazing Race podcast is sponsored in part by our patrons who make sure that I always give it more oomph than Connor reading a Welsh poem to an elderly linguist. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, visit robhasawebsite.com/patron. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who still can't figure out why today's guest is not on The Amazing Race All-Stars, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Take Two of our podcast here today, talking about The Amazing Race, final three teams going into Sunday's finale of The Amazing Race. First, let me introduce you to our co-host. You know who she is. It's Jessica Lease. Jessica, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Rob. Better now that we're live.
Better now that we're live. And Jessica, I told you before we started, I love what you're wearing because I feel like I get to talk to Captain Picard today. So this is fantastic.
All right. Well, make it so.
Yes. There you go. All right. And let's bring in our guest today. You know her from Amazing Race 23. I don't know why she's not one of the all-stars. She raced with the Afghanimals. I'm sure she's going to have a lot to say. Please welcome the one and only Marie Mizochi? Am I saying that right?
Mizaki.
Okay, sorry about that.
Close enough.
Close enough. Nobody can say Cesternino right, so I feel like that. I know how it goes. So, yeah. Marie, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
Good. We're very happy to have you on here to talk about The Amazing Race. First off, can you start off by telling us why aren't you on The Amazing Race All-Stars?
I decided that it was just a little too soon to do it again.
Now, is that a thing? Do people who go back too soon, is that a disadvantage for them?
It didn't appear to be a disadvantage for the Afghanimals. I mean, they did all right.
Did you not want to go back because you felt like competitively it would hurt you to play twice in a row, or were emotionally?
There was a few reasons. I mean, it was a little too soon to spend that amount of time with Tim again. It was a bad time for me to be away from work. And I felt bad when I came back home that I know I was going to leave my boyfriend again. I had just come back home and sorry, I did this. I'm home. It's over. And a couple of weeks later, we got the call and it was just too much at once.
Yeah. Well, could you have gotten in on that bopper spot? Would you have gone with Mark and then you wouldn't have had to race with Tim again?
No, I think the backup spot was filled already.
Oh, that was very foolish by people at CBS because I was so sure you were going to be on this season.
Yeah, well, I mean, they asked. I unfortunately said no. I'm watching it now and I wish that I did it. And if they asked again, I would definitely do it in the future, but it just wasn't the right time for me.
Why do you wish that you would have done it? Because you feel like this one was easier than Amazing Race 23?
Yeah, I'm watching it and I can't believe how easy it is. I freaked out when I saw the Mustang challenge because I know everything about Mustangs. I would have skipped the whole detour and won two cars. I watch every episode and I'm like, I can't believe I'm not there.
Okay, so we're going to be live and asking your questions here with Marie as we talk about everything that's happened on Amazing Race this season and getting ready for the final three. If you posted questions before, we had some technical difficulties and we had to recreate the Google Hangout, so we lost your questions if you had already posted them. So we've got the chat room going, we got the hashtag RHAP, and then also we have on our YouTube channel, if you go to robhasawebsite.com/YouTube, you can post your questions there for Marie. So first off, Marie, let's get to the Afghanimals. Were you sad to see the Afghanimals go home in fourth place again?
Yes, it was. I think I kind of saw it coming right at the beginning of the episode when there was a little clip of Jamal saying, this is how we went home last time, the same exact, the same leg, same situation. I hope it doesn't happen again. And I thought that was a little bit of foreshadowing that, kind of let us know, oh, going to happen again. But I thought in the beginning of this episode, they're either going to go home this episode or they're going to win the whole thing. And unfortunately, they went home.
Where did they go wrong this time?
I really don't think they did anything like, ridiculously stupid or made any huge mistakes. It's just that, the other teams didn't make any mistakes. And they were lost for a little bit. And, you know, Jamal had a little bit of a hard time with the roadblock, but, it didn't seem like he had too much more difficulty than Connor or, what's the other one, Brenchel. And we didn't see Caroline do it at all, so I don't know how it went for her. But I think it was a close race, and, nobody really messed up that bad. And unfortunately, they didn't make it.
Now, the Afghanimals raced in back-to-back seasons, and we've seen basically two different versions of the Afghanimals. We've seen the Amazing Race 23 version, where they're very cutthroat, and they're basically trying to lie and trick everybody and have race wives and talk to all the women that they see. And then in Amazing Race 24, they seem to be a lot more cooperative. They're making alliances. They're not worried about what the girls are doing as much. Yet, in both instances, they come in fourth place. Which version of the Afghanimals did you prefer?
I prefer the first version. I think they're not bad guys at all. I mean, I have nothing. I'm fully supportive of like a cutthroat race. If you have to lie, you want to lie, you do whatever you have to do to win. I prefer that version. I think going into this season, they kind of felt like they didn't really have an option. They needed to pretend like, hey, we learned a lesson, we want to be nice, we're going to do it different this time. Otherwise, they would have had all the other teams up against them right from the start.
Yeah. I spoke to Jamal this morning, and I asked him about that, of the two different versions of the Afghanimals we saw. And he basically said if there was a third time that they got to play, they would go back to the much more cutthroat version. Because what he said was, we were nice this whole time, and people still U-turned us in this race. And so it's like, if you're a threat, and you're like a team that people are scared of, they're going to U-turn you no matter what. So you might as well just be underhanded and you be very cutthroat from the start.
I agree.
Jess, do you agree with that? Is that the correct strategy to play?
I think if it was working for them before, there's no reason to change horses midstream.
Yeah. It's just funny that they went a completely different way, but they ended up in exactly the same place.
Yeah, because I think in the end it ended up not being terribly different.
Yeah. And actually, you could even argue that the first way that they played, if Leo could just put that robot together, then they would be in a much better position, whereas they were sort of in fourth place, and it was, they did not have a lead. I guess they were winning after the soccer challenge, but not a commanding lead.
Yeah, I don't know. Marie was putting together that robot pretty amazingly fast.
I don't know. I still say if Amy didn't help Nicole put her robot together, Leo would have got it, and they would have made it to the final three, and they would have beat all of us. They would have won.
Okay. Oh, no. That's got to hurt then. Still stings.
Yeah.
For the Afghanimals. Okay. I would love to get your sense of what Brendan and Rachel have been up to this season. Because when I first heard about Amazing Race All-Stars and my mind started racing, I said, oh, this is going to be so great that the Brenchels are going to be back and Tim and Marie are going to be there. And I can't wait to see if Rachel and Marie are going to fight. So I would love to get your sense. Would you have fought with Rachel this season?
I don't think I would have. I mean, if she went into the race, knowing that she wanted to fight with me and not get along with me, then of course, I would have gave it right back to her. But I don't hate the Brenchels. I don't think they're a bad team. Does Rachel cry a little too much for me sometimes? Yes. But I think they're a good team. And I think people probably would have been shocked to see us maybe align with them if we raced together.
They seem to get along pretty well with other teams that are sort of like a couple. They feuded in Amazing Race 20 with Jess. What was the name? What was that team that they were fighting with in that were the exes?
The Vanessa and Ralph.
Vanessa and Ralph. But traditionally, they get along good with the Jeff and Jordans of the world and the John and Jessicas. And so I wonder, though, now you and Tim are exes, so that I'm not sure which way that would have gone.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that would have went. Like I said, if we got there and, she had an issue with me, then that's the way it would have went. But if not, then I think we probably would have got along.
Yeah. See, I think they get along good with other couples because it's like a double date. But when we have another person who's not in a couple who's with them, then maybe Rachel feels like somebody is trying to get in between her and her man, and that sort of sets off a alarm.
Yeah, I don't see Rachel as much of an instigator.
No, but she doesn't like anybody getting in between her and her man.
So yeah, she's reactive, not proactive.
Right.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So I wonder if you guys would have got along. Rachel does seem more low key than in the past on the, especially on Amazing Race 23 versus Amazing Race 20.
She's definitely calmed down a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, let's go ahead and let's start to take some questions here as they're starting to come back in for Marie here. And so let's go ahead and think. Okay, so this is from Mike Bloom. And he wants to know, would you rather memorize a poem in Welsh or boil another egg? Which would you rather do, Marie?
I would probably boil another egg. I'm good at it now.
Now you have it down?
Yeah, now I have it down.
Yeah. Okay, well, that is good. You have to make sure it's really the time that you do it. I think that's really the key thing.
Yeah, I would boil it for 30 minutes and be done.
Okay. Also, Mike Bloom wants to know, who from the cast do you think is most likely to take only 40% of the prize money? Did anybody else make a deal like that before The Amazing Race, do you think?
I don't know that anybody else made a deal like that. I don't know who on this episode would do that. I don't know. I don't think anybody would do that. I think that's just something I would do.
Yeah. Let's talk about Dave and Connor, who they've been a front runner for most of this season. They had the big incident a couple of weeks ago with the U-turn gate, and they were very upset with the Brentschels and the whole accidental alliance thing. Do you think Dave and Connor were justified in being upset over Brendan and Rachel U-turning them?
No, absolutely not. It drove me crazy. I was screaming at my TV. Like, he kept saying, oh my God, how are you going to U-turn an old man? Like, I'm an old man. Why would you do that? Like, if you're going to use your age as an excuse, then you shouldn't be on the race. I just think the U-turn is part of the game. They don't put the U-turn board there so people could not use it. It's just baffling to me when people complain about getting U-turned. Listen, two people are going to get U-turned. I get mad when people don't U-turn people because I think it just like takes excitement out of the game. Like, you have this chance to get ahead, use it.
Who is more justified in being upset over something? Dave and Connor about the U-turn or Jason and Amy about the backpack incident?
I think probably Jason and Amy because they didn't know that we didn't move their backpacks. So the couple episodes that you saw them like freaking out about, you know, how mad they were at us, they thought that we broke the rules and we deliberately like took their bags out. And it wasn't until a few lines later that they found out, you know, that wasn't the case and then we were fine. So being in that same situation and not knowing the real truth, I think Jason and Amy were a little more justified in being mad.
Would Dave being upset have gone over better if he gave himself a cool nickname like Providence Dave, and then that would have been like another character he was playing, or Salt Lake City Dave?
No, that just would have been more embarrassing.
Oh. All right. I feel like that could have been really exciting to see Dave snap and go into a whole nother character, because Amy is so nice. When Providence Amy came out, that was like a totally different character. She's like the Incredible Hulk. Yeah. Marie, do you have a nickname for your angrier version of yourself?
No, that's just like my regular version.
Do you have an alter ego that's a nicer version that comes out?
No, I don't know. It's just it's just what you see is what you get. Whatever I'm feeling always comes out. And if it's good and I'm happy, then it's happy. And if somebody pisses me off, then you know what you get. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. So you don't have a poker face?
No, not really.
Okay. Jess, is that typically a good thing or a bad thing on The Amazing Race?
Well, I think it can work for you and it can work against you. But I think in Marie's case, it seemed like her being upfront about everything to everybody seemed to work in her favor.
Okay. You got to be yourself. Can't keep anything
exactly.
In. Okay, let's take a question from JJ Rules, who wants to know, Marie, where do you get your tough girl personality? Because all the teams are scared of you, and can you intimidate my friend? Can you intimidate JJ Rules' friend?
I think this might be the guy that tweeted me and asked me to intimidate his friend. I wasn't sure what he was talking about. I don't know. I just, when I was when I was younger, in like middle school and high school, I grew up around a lot of boys. You know, I was always friends with boys, and I was always kind of a tomboy. And I don't know, even when I was younger, when I would get my report card, it would be like A's in everything, and then like works well with other, needs improvement. Like, I just was always kind of bossy, and I never take shit from anybody. I don't know. I think my mom's like that. My mom's kind of scary.
Now, what does J.J. Rules want you to intimidate his friend to do?
I'm not sure. I just saw a tweet about it, and there wasn't a follow-up tweet or anything, but I wasn't about to, you know, cyberbully someone, so I kind of just...
Yeah, I hope it's not like they want him to do something illegal, that they're basically trying to say, hey, you better show up at 3 o'clock for the thing that's going down, or else...
There's going to be a rumble.
Yeah. Have you ever had to intimidate somebody else for somebody in real life?
Yeah, a couple times. I mean, I don't like get in fights or anything, but I certainly will stand up for my friends if they're into a situation. I did get in a fight once. There was an eighth grader picking on my sister when she was in second grade, and I beat her up, and I was in third grade.
And that's the last physical altercation you've been in?
No, there's been a few, but I never instigate anything. I never start anything.
So you, much like Rachel, you are reactive than proactive?
Right. I am reactive. The last time I was involved in any type of physical altercation was probably a few years ago. Someone was starting a fight with a friend that I was with, and, you know, I told the person, stop, you know, you're going to have to stop. You're going to get three warnings, and they didn't stop. And then I kind of finished it.
Do you typically give three warnings? That seems very generous.
Yeah, I give three warnings. I give a lot of warnings because if I'm going to do something, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I like the three warning system. I feel like I wish my wife would give me three warnings before she gets really mad at me for something. I feel like I get zero warnings. I'm going to make a movement for that. Yeah, and just to confirm, so Michael Harmston wants to know, so a third grade Marie kicked an eighth grader's ass? Is that official?
That's official.
Well, that's pretty good.
Nice.
Okay. Let me ask you a question from Lantern, who wants to know, of the final three teams that are left, who does Marie want to win? Who are you rooting for out of, okay, we have the Brentials, we have Dave and Connor, and Jaren and Caroline, who we haven't talked about yet tonight. Who are you rooting for?
I am 100% rooting for the Brentials.
100% Team Brential?
Yes.
Yay.
Okay. Why?
I don't like Dave and Connor. Just never liked them. I don't know. I think they're boring. I think Dave whines a lot about his Achilles and being old and whatnot. And I don't like the Country Girls as racers. I want to make it very clear that I don't have an issue with them at all. I think they'd probably be fun to hang out with. I think they're great girls, but I think they're terrible racers, and they should have been gone a long time ago.
Okay. Wow. Those are harsh words for the Jen and Caroline.
I mean, it is what it is. I've said it before. I'm not insulting them. I think they're great girls. I think they're cute and they're funny, but, you know, I think the winner of the Amazing Race should be the team that has, you know, the best racers, and I think they've been lucky for a lot of legs.
Will you be angry if Dave and Connor win the Amazing Race?
Yeah.
What will you do if Dave and Connor win the Amazing Race?
I don't know. I'm not going to do anything. I just won't be happy. I mean,
you'll
I obviously
quietly fume about it.
Yeah,
I'm an eighth grader and kick their ass.
Yeah,
I'm going to beat up Dave and Connor.
Oh my God, he's old.
Well,
you can't
old.
Beat him up. How dare you, Marie? Something that Jess and I talked about a lot last night, a lot of people were concerned about the rules with how many people are allowed to do the amount of roadblocks. I guess Connor had done his seventh roadblock last night. I talked about this a little bit with Jamal in the exit interview, but I'd love to hear from you. Can you talk about the rules of when does production step in and say, hey, you've done too many roadblocks and now the other person has to do them?
Yeah, you keep track on your own. So in the beginning, if you want, you know, if for Tim and I, if I wanted to do the first five in a row, that's totally fine. You get to decide who does what. But at a certain point, it's half and half. So I think it's if somebody's done six, then they can't do any more. because there could be 11, you know, there could be 12. Sometimes there's the double roadblock, but six is the limit. So once you get to one partner having six, the clue will tell you that the other person has to do it.
Okay. Now, Jess, does that jive with what happened with Dave and Connor?
It does not, actually, because Connor
it'll be next time. They were even. Dave and Connor were even, I think.
No, they were at 6-4 up until last night, and now they're at 7-4.
See, what Jamal had said was that it's not necessarily based on an exact number, but if they start to see that, as long as it's within like two or three of them doing it, then production will let it go. But then if it gets to be like, you know, one person's done eight and the other person's done three, then they'll tell you.
It's in the rules in the beginning when they brief you on everything. It has to be half and half. So when I got to, when Tim and I were in Indonesia on the first leg, we had a system where we were going back and forth. So we kept it even no matter what. And we got to the thing where I heard the music and I was like, oh, I think this should be yours. But it wasn't really his turn. He did it. So then he was ahead. So then when we got to the egg boiling, our clue said Marie has to do this one. So I don't know if the production knows that there might be two or three roadblocks in the finale, and that's why Connor got to do seven, but it should be half and half.
Just, did production change the rules because Dave is old?
I thought production was being unfairly harsh to Dave because he's old. That was the story I heard anyway.
Yeah. All right. So somewhere in between what Marie is saying and what Jamal is saying is the right answer. So, and Marie is saying that it's 100% what she's saying.
Yeah.
Well, it could well have been. They could have changed it just for this season.
Do you think they changed it for the All-Stars?
No, I mean, it could be that that was the last one he was allowed. I mean, maybe there's 13 roadblocks and therefore, you know, he was allowed to do seven. So now anything else that happens has to be Dave. I don't know what the exact number is, but if they change that rule, then that's ridiculous because, I mean, the same person could do them all.
Could there be two roadblocks next week, Jess?
Yeah, that's possible.
Okay. All right. So we'll see. Maybe that is how it's going to, we'll keep an eye on it on Sunday night. Okay. Let's go. Here's a compliment from Savage Personified 90 says, Marie is looking hot with the blonde hair. Marie, oh my God.
Thank you.
Savage Personified. There you go. Okay, let's go back to Spicy Wasabi, who wants to know, back in the Arranging the Dates challenge on the tray, the Iska babes and the baseball wives didn't like you and Tim yelling at each other, whereas the Afghanimals thought that was sexy. Why such a different reaction from the teams? Did you know that?
Yes, I know that. Mal was talking about it. I think because the Afghanimals are so focused on their game and what they're doing, no matter what's going on around them, doesn't affect them. So they were making jokes about it. They thought it was sexy. They thought it was funny. But the Iska babes and the bunnies were legitimately distracted, and we like ruined their entire day. They couldn't finish what they were doing because I was yelling. So I think
was that an intentional distraction tactic?
I mean, we were really fighting, but at that point, after those teams had complained about, you know, how it was so distracting to them when we yell all the time, I bumped it up a little.
Let's talk about some of the tasks on Amazing Race 24 versus Amazing Race 23. Now, what are some of the tasks that have annoyed you this season on Amazing Race 24?
Last week, the balloon shaving was like retarded. Like you go all the way to another country and then you have to shave a balloon. Like I thought that was stupid. I thought that could have been done at home. Some of them I like, though. Like, I don't even know when it was, like, episodes ago in the very beginning where they had to build a raft and they had to go down the river. Like, I thought that was cool and that was challenging. But recently, the last couple episodes, I just keep watching and I'm like, this is dumb.
What about kicking soccer goals? Did you like that?
I thought that was good. I don't know if I'm allowed to say what I really thought about it, but I thought that was an awesome challenge, yes.
Well, now you teased us by saying what you really thought about it.
Well, the goalies were like real goalies, so it should be really, really hard. And, you know, you watch the Afghanimals struggle with it, and we finally see them get a goal or two, and then, you know, the same thing with Dave and Connor. And we never actually saw the country girls make a goal. We saw a shot of them kicking, and then we saw a shot of the ball going in the net. and the goalie kind of just standing there. And I don't think those two girls ever would have been able to score a goal. I think that it went on so long that production zipped some footage together and said, okay, you can go.
But they came out, it seemed like, were they the second team to finish or the third team to finish? Like, they were done before Dave and Connor.
Yeah.
So, I can't imagine that they were there that long.
Right. I don't think it was ever going to happen. So, I think they wanted to make sure that they stayed in it and they let them go.
Oh. Because I did say, watching the show, it did seem like that Jen and Caroline did not seem like they were making any great shots. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of them started going in after they were flirting with the goalie.
Right. The goalie stopped even trying at one point. I think he was just kind of standing there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, is that a valid strategy in soccer? Can you flirt with the goalie and get him to not as try as hard?
No, I don't think that would work in real soccer. Only on the Amazing Race.
There's a lot of things that would only work on the Amazing Race.
Yeah.
So then also in the show last night, we had the Welsh poem. Did that resonate with you at all? I know that Jamal compared it to being at the Vienna Boys Choir.
Yeah, no, I thought that was hard. I thought that was definitely a difficult roadblock. I thought when I was first watching it that they were going to be able to either keep it with them and it was just the pronunciation that was going to be difficult, or, you know, if they were able to maybe write down how to pronounce things on there and have little notes. But once I saw what you had to recite and the fact that you couldn't keep it with you, I was like, oh my God, I would have never been able to do that.
Yeah, that seemed very hard. Now, I thought from what it said in the clue, I thought you were going to have to ride back in the ferry and learn the thing and take a 15-minute ferry ride. But it seemed like you were just able to go and practice and then come back.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought they were going to have to go back, do it again, kind of like the Ferris wheel thing, like you had to go around again. But she just kept telling him, go back, come back.
Yeah. Jess, is that what you thought?
Yeah, that's definitely what I thought. And I feel like in any other season where they didn't really care about, you know, getting people through it as quickly as possible so they don't have to rent the thing for the whole day, I feel like that's what they would have done.
That what you think that was the concern?
I think that was the concern.
Oh, okay.
They're on like a shoestring this entire season.
Why, how much could it have cost to rent the ferry?
I don't even know, but apparently it was a concern.
Okay. Well, then the final part of the task was either boot it or shoot it. Marie, would you have chosen shoot it?
I think I would have done boot it.
Yeah. Now, boot it seemed, I would have done boot it. I thought boot it seems a lot easier, but I felt like for some reason I feel like I could see you shooting a gun.
I mean, I don't think I've ever shot a gun. I don't know. Maybe I would be good at it. Maybe I wouldn't. But I think we always looked at the detours in the sense of which one is more physical. And we would do that one because we knew we would be good at it. Like, I would say, okay, I'm going to be able to throw this boot filled with water further than any other girl on any other team. So let's just go do this. We can get through it quick. I think not knowing, you know, whether I was going to be good at shooting or not, you're kind of just like taking a chance with that.
Now, Brendan and Rachel made the mistake of not being able to go and look at the size of the boot before they started throwing the boots around. They picked up, Rachel had a size 10 instead of a size 9 or 11. Is that inexcusable, or you can see why they would have maybe not read that part of the clue?
I heard they did read the clue. She originally said a 9 or 11, and then when she was bent over looking at them, I think she somehow got confused and thought 10 is in the middle of 9 and 11, and that's okay, or it's a 9 or a 10. And because I remember as soon as she said it, I was like, oh my God, I was like, they're going to have to do the whole thing again. Like, she just said 9 or 11, and then she picked up a 10. So she read it, but it just didn't register, and she somehow got messed up, and it wasn't until the end where she reread it and realized.
Okay. Now, Jess and I got called out in the comments today of not making a big enough deal about Brendan and Rachel's meltdown. Should we have been making a bigger deal about Brendan and Rachel fighting last night?
I mean, I don't think so. I didn't really think it was a big deal. I mean, you think we're going to go through a whole season of Amazing Race without the Brendels having some type of meltdown and her crying? Like, it was only a matter of time. I don't think it was that big of a deal. She was crying and whining and kind of regressed back to her first season, and he told her to shut up, and then it was over.
Okay. Here's a question from Spicy Wasabi. This is a good question. Spicy Wasabi wants to know, stronger racers, the Iska Babes or the Country Singers? Who do you think were the better racing team?
Iska Babes, definitely.
Why? Now, Jen and Caroline, they've gotten this far into the race. What'd they come in? Final four on their first season. Now they're in the final three. They have a chance they could win this race. Aren't they better than the Iska Babes?
No, they're luckier. They're more willing to flirt. They get away with stuff easier. They just hang on other people. They let other people carry them through the race. And the Iska Babes did do that a little bit with the Afghanimals, but they're smart racers. Like, they're actually really smart girls, and when they were left on their own, they handled everything fine.
Aren't the Iska Babes more willing to flirt? They made race husbands out of Leo and Jamal, and Jen and Caroline never even had race fiancés in the race.
Yeah, no, they did. They definitely flirt. I'm not saying the Iska Babes aren't using the flirting to their advantage, but, you know, when the flirting's not there, they can still hold their own. Hold on, I'm going to move my dog. This is just ridiculous.
Okay. Jess, so is it that the... Would you say that the Iska Babes were better at the flirt game, that they were able to become actual couples with Leo and Jamal?
Yeah, they were able to race to close the deal.
Their flirt game was on point more than Jen and Caroline. Is that what you could say?
Well, I feel like with the Iska Babes, that was their main stat, and they had a lot more behind it. And I feel like the country girls are sort of good at a lot of things, and they're not really, really good at one thing.
Okay. Let's go to our favorite commenter, Super Survivor Suck Up in the Car 02734, with a question. So sad to see the Afghanimals go. Love those guys' entertainment. They need to come back again. Do you think that they would have beaten Brendan and Rachel if Jamal didn't hurt his knee in the previous detour? Do you think that Leo and Jamal could have come in third if not for Jamal's knee injury?
No, I don't think the injury really played a factor in this leg of the race. I mean, he was fine. There wasn't anything that involved, like, excessive running.
Okay.
So I think they kind of just got unlucky with, you know, getting lost, and yeah, I don't know. I don't think the knee had anything to do with it.
It happens.
Yeah, they were just fine at the tasks.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay, so let's take a question from Jason Belden, who wants to know, hey, Rob, Jess, and Marie, Dave seems to be blatantly riding Connor's back to the finish line. Is this partially why they're coming off as so unpopular? Connor is literally, or
literally
Dave is
carrying.
Literally, I'm sorry, Connor is literally carrying Dave on his back. Okay, what do you think? Is Dave riding Connor's on his back to get to the finals?
I think so. I mean, a little bit. He has to. He's like 100. I mean,
he's only 60.
That's almost 100.
I guess, but if you're rounding up, I guess.
I think it's like that with a lot of teams, though. I mean, sometimes it's very obvious with teams that one of the players is the stronger player and the other one just kind of falls back and follows along. And I think that's what's going on.
Like how you carried Tim on your back through a whole season?
Correct.
Yeah. let's talk about some of the other teams from The Amazing Race this season. Who were you excited to see back that came back this season?
The Brentials, because I knew they were going to be entertaining.
Yes.
I wasn't like a big fan of them before this, but I knew at least there was going to be something to watch. I like the Globetrotters. You know, I kind of had an issue with teams coming back for like a third time, because I think, like, who really wants to watch anybody a third time? I think it's a bit much, but, they're cool guys and they're fun to watch. They're always entertaining. And I knew, of course, the Afghanimals were going to be entertaining. And at the end of the day, for a viewer, it's a TV show. Like, you want to watch what's entertaining. And I knew that those three teams would keep me entertained.
Who came back that you felt like they were reaching with bringing them back?
I can't even think of the other team. So I guess whoever they were, them.
Anybody you didn't mention that they should not have been brought back?
Somebody who shouldn't have been brought back, or somebody who should?
The people that should not have been brought back.
How
about the 20s?
I like the 20s. I was glad they were back, and I was sad that they were gone so quick. The Cowboys, I don't like the Cowboys. I don't think they should have been there.
Why? Why don't you like them?
Just because, I don't know, I never liked them. They're kind of just like, I don't know, they're boring or something. For some reason, I just don't like them. And then also, John and Jessica.
Yeah.
I didn't think that they should come back. I mean, I don't think anybody should have came back.
Now, they misplayed using the Express Pass. Now, should anybody that gets voted out with an Express Pass come back? That you know a thing or two about the Express Pass?
No, I don't think. I think it depends what type of a season it is. Is this like a redemption season? Is this a fan favorites? Like, I'm still not sure what is going on or how teams were casted for this. If it was about redemption and people that made really stupid mistakes and bringing them all back, then of course John and Jessica should be the first ones invited. But we really didn't get to know them that well on their first season, and they were stupid. They messed up really bad, and I don't think that you should get another chance for that.
Okay. This is a question from Keith Dixon, who wants to know, why did the shoes have to be a 9 and 11? Is there some sort of significance to them or something? Now, some people are asking, is it like a 9-11 thing? No, I don't think that's the case. But is there the rules in this game that the shoes have to be 9 and 11? Or is that just arbitrary Amazing Race? They're hoping that somebody messes up.
Yeah, I think they just did that just to hope that somebody would mess up. I mean, they can't say just pick any boots because then there's, you know, there's nothing that somebody can get tripped up on.
Now, if nobody messed up, would they even give us that part of the clue in the show?
I don't know. I think they would. If there's, when you open the clue, there's the part that you read that's a couple sentences, and then there's like a whole paragraph underneath it. And I think the 9 and 11 was in that front part. So unless something goes disastrously wrong that had to do with like the additional information, they don't really mention that.
Okay. Michael Harmstone wants to know, Marie, how would you have done in being partnered with Mallory? How many legs would you have found her annoying? And then Michael puts in parentheses, although I love her.
With Marilee, I wouldn't race with her. I couldn't even believe when they said they were bringing her back. I was like, oh God, no, I hate that girl. I mean, she's probably a nice girl. I just don't want to watch her on my TV, and I don't really want to be around her.
What about, could you have raced with Mark?
No, I would feel bad. I feel like I would boss him around, and he would be like going too slow and, you know, throwing up all the time because he like gets car sick or whatever. And I would have just been like, I'm out of here.
What about when Mark forgot his backpack this season? That was one of the bigger moments of the season. Would you have gone with Mark to go back and get his backpack?
Well, Mallory is the one who forgot the backpack. Yes. She was asked her, and she left it there. And then she was like, we don't need it. I would have left it. I would never go back for anything. I think, I mean, we got lost. We lost our backpacks in Abu Dhabi, and me and Tim fought about it for about like 45 minutes, and I wanted to leave and he wanted to stay. And I was like, what, do you have like a pair of shorts in your bag that you really like? Like, we're on the Amazing Race. What are you doing? So I would have left everything. And then unfortunately I think that was the mistake there. You know, they wasted that time and went back and got it and were eliminated. It was a stupid decision.
Now this season,
I remember this because you said around the time the Abu Dhabi legs were airing, you said you had this huge meltdown and it was going to be a central plot point. And they didn't show any of that.
Yeah, they showed none of it. They did show a couple minutes of it on the bonus clips that were on YouTube, but it never actually made the episode. It was bad.
Well, why would they not put something like that in the episode?
I don't know. Maybe just not enough time, and there was already too much of me and Tim yelling in the episode. I'm not sure, but. We after we finished the detour and the other two girls were still doing the dates, you know, it looked as if we were just out of there, but we ran around everywhere in Abu Dhabi trying to find our cab that had our bags in it for the next 45 minutes. We had to go in different office buildings, have people call people, the cops were involved. Like, it was a whole long drawn out process, and me and Tim kept fighting because I wanted to just get in the cab and leave, and he wanted to get our bags.
Okay. Let's go ahead and let's take a question from Nick2S wants to know, would you ever like to see a season whose initial twist for a forced Frankenstein pairing switch with the bottom two teams placing in the first leg? Would you want to see a season like that where the bottom two teams have to switch partners?
Yeah, I think that would be fun. I think that would be interesting. I think everyone should get there and have to switch partners with everybody anyway.
But isn't part of the fun that they want to see the people who have these relationships like that? Don't they want to see, like, you fight with Tim? Would it be as fun to see, you know, you fighting with somebody who wasn't your regular partner?
I don't know. I think that's an interesting twist, maybe just for, like, a leg or two. I mean, I'll fight with anybody. I'll yell at anybody you want to pair me with. But unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen with the other team. So you're right. Maybe it would be uneventful.
Yeah, I like there being a twist where it's like you have to run a leg with another partner. And if you guys both make it, then you go back to your regular partner. But if you get eliminated, then you're stuck with that other pairing the rest of the way.
Yeah.
I think that would be pretty fun. This is from Donald Paluga, who wants to know, why did all the Liverpool jerseys have a number 24 on the back? Do you have any insight into this, Marie?
Yes, it is season 24 of The Amazing Race.
Oh, there you go. How about that? Jess, are you wearing Liverpool colors tonight?
Not intentionally, but we'll go with it.
There you go. As far as this upcoming season of The Amazing Race, are you looking forward to getting back to all new players for Amazing Race 25?
I probably won't watch, to be honest.
Why?
I never watched The Amazing Race ever before, actually. When we applied, I had never seen it. So I watched our season, and I caught up on... I watched season 20 and I watched season 22 because I thought maybe we should, you know, before we leave. But other than that, I don't watch it, and I probably won't watch it unless somebody I know is on it.
So how did you get on The Amazing Race?
I was sitting at Sweeney's house, just hanging out on a Saturday.
Sweeney is Tim?
Tim, yes.
Okay.
So I was hanging out at his apartment. My ex-boyfriend and I had just broken up, and Tim lived down the street, and I was at his house watching football, and we saw a commercial for it on TV, and I literally looked at him, and I was like, hey, what's that? That's cool. I feel like we could win that. Let's look it up. And we Googled it, and it said the application entry deadline was that exact day. So I turned the camera on the laptop, and our original video is me telling Tim, you know, hey, we have to make a video. And he's standing behind me golfing. And he's like, what are you talking about? What's The Amazing Race? And we sent that in, and they called us. And, you know, 8 months later, we were there.
Wow. And then it was like you had like a fling with The Amazing Race. And now you're ready to just kick it to the curb and move on?
I mean, I would go on it again, but it's I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to watch it. Maybe. Okay. Should I say I'm going to watch it? I'll watch it. Sure, I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
You have to watch it so you can come back on the show next season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Jason Belden has another question. The finale leg is taking us to Vegas. Can Rob, Jess, and Marie speculate on what kind of Vegas tasks you'd like to see? Now, Marie, have you seen that in the coming attractions that David Copperfield is going to be involved with The Amazing Race?
Yes, I saw that. That's so cool.
Yes, you'd be excited to see David Copperfield?
Yeah.
Do you like magic?
I don't believe it, but I think it's cool. I mean, if the task is to, you know, swallow a sword or light yourself on fire or, you know, get out of a straitjacket underwater, that's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. I think that would be pretty impressive. How do you think they're going to incorporate David Copperfield into the task?
I don't know. I think he's going to teach them how to perform a stunt, and then they're going to have to do it. But I don't know how it's going to, like, if they can't do it, do they die? Like, what happens?
I don't know. Jess, what do you think they're going to do with your knowledge of The Amazing Race?
I think he's probably going to be the judge, and they're going to have to learn a trick and perform it for him. Or an illusion. They're going to learn the illusion and perform it for him.
Okay. That's going to be, or maybe they have to figure out how he did a trick.
That's also a possibility.
Okay, but I don't know. I've not seen a lot of.
Yeah, he doesn't reveal his secrets, though.
Okay, well, this is going to be a very, very exciting episode of The Amazing Race. Now, it's a one-hour finale this week. In the production of the show, do you have any sense if it's any different between the one-hour finale or the two-hour finale? Like, do you know in the production of it that you're in the finale, or is it just like you just race as normal and they cut up the episodes however they want?
Yeah, you know, we weren't sure. We didn't know that our two separate legs were going to be a two-hour finale. You know, when you watch it at home, it kind of looked like one continuous thing. We had no idea that was going to happen. But right now, you know, they know that there's only one leg left. So I'm pretty sure they know that there's one episode, you know, one-hour finale, and then that this is it.
Now, do you think that, I know you're a Team Brenchel, should Brendan and Rachel come back for a third time? I know you don't like three-timers, but you do like Brendan and Rachel. Have they merited a third time on the race?
Okay. I think that you shouldn't be allowed to come back for a third time. I don't think anybody should. I think that should be thrown out. Once you go twice, you're done. But if the rule still exists and we have to pull from people that have already raced, then if there's going to be 11 more people, yes, they should be a team.
Okay. Let's go ahead and let's do another question from Super Survivor Suck Up in the Car 02734. Hey, Rob, Marie, and Jessica, even though it probably won't happen, I think this All-Star season should have had a switchback task like the Hay Challenge from Season 6 and 16. It's an All-Star season, so the teams should do one. Do you think a team needs to do a nostalgic task, Marie?
I don't know. I didn't see those seasons. I don't know what he's talking about.
should they bring back old challenges because it's an All-Star season?
Yeah, I would actually be very interested to see if they just kind of did, if they were going to recycle a couple of things, like steal stuff from the foreign editions of the show like they did, why don't they just make it an all switchback season and have all the tasks be favorite tasks that we liked very much the first time or two we saw them? Like, you know, bring back the hay bales and the cheese wheels and the putting together of robots and I don't know what all else.
Okay. Keith Dixon wants to know, why couldn't Tim join us tonight?
Because I couldn't get a hold of him.
Yeah. He did not make himself available?
No, he said he was going to be here. I told him about it. I told him about it a week ago. And then I decided that, you know, I said, I'm not going to remind you. I'm not calling you that day and, you know, coming, picking you up and bringing you to my house and sitting you next to me. Figure it out. It's a week from now. It's at 7. Be there. And, of course, he's missing.
Can you yell at him in case he ever watches this in the archives?
He's not going to watch this. He probably has no idea this is even happening.
Somebody will send it to him on Twitter if you yell at him.
We should call him on speakerphone, and he'll be like, what are you doing? You're in our live show.
Do you want to do it?
You want to try?
Do it, yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're calling Tim.
Okay, so we're calling up Tim Sweeney on... Do you want to tell him that, or do you want to prank him about something else?
We're just going to talk to him and see what he says. When he asks me what I'm doing, I'm going to tell him I'm doing the show.
Okay. Yeah, don't show his phone number.
Hey, what are you doing?
Hey. Nothing. What are you doing?
Just doing the live show with Rob and Jess that we were supposed to do together.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. What happened with that?
I'm just finishing up an event with Jane and Amy.
Oh, so you just took off to Boston and forgot about it?
No, I thought you said that.
I mean, Jess was trying to get a hold of you.
I thought you said that it wasn't going to work on double cameras. I mean,
remember. Yeah, no, it's Google Hangouts. You could have like 10 people on.
Yeah, okay.
All right, well, we just wanted to call you and see where you were. You're on the air right now.
I heard him on the freeway.
What? I can't even with you.
Who's on the freeway?
I have no idea what he's talking about. He's probably drunk and golfing. I can't.
Boy, Jason and Amy have like events on a Monday. Those guys are so popular.
Oh my God, they have events every single day.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, every day on Facebook they're posting some new thing, like they went to some new charity event, and they always look fabulous, and it's like a full-time vocation.
Okay. Let's take one or two more questions. Spicy Wasabi says, you went from being villains in the beginning to being fan favorites by the end of your season. Dave and Connor had the opposite trajectory. Which editing do you prefer?
I guess going from villains to like people liking you is better, obviously. Yes.
But I don't think that Dave and Connor have gone that. I feel like most fans of The Amazing Race don't see Dave and Connor as villains or unlikable. Don't you agree with that?
No, I don't think it's necessarily like a really bad edit where, you know, people think that they're horrible people. I think they just kind of let us see how much, you know, Dave was complaining and, you know, my Achilles and me being old and this and that. And it's more or less people are sick of them. I don't think they hate them or think they're bad people. I think they're just kind of sick of them.
Yeah. And I have a feeling the average person who watches The Amazing Race, who's not online, who isn't on Twitter, I have a feeling that they're pretty popular, you know, with the just average Amazing Race watching fan.
Right.
I think so. All right, and let me see. Jess, did you have any more questions?
Well, I had a couple, but then we asked them already, so we're good.
Okay. Heading into the final hour of The Amazing Race on Sunday, do you have any predictions for the finale, Marie?
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the challenges are going to be like, but I have a feeling that the Brentschels are going to somehow just do something really mean or awful, and then they're going to end up losing. And, you know, karma's going to bite them in the ass, just like it did in our season.
They're going to do something mean or awful to Dave and Connor or Jen and Caroline?
No, Jen and Caroline are just there. Like, they're probably going to come in probably, like, second or third just because, like, they're there. But I think Brentschels will probably, like, almost win, but something terrible will happen. And then Dave and Connor will win, and everyone will be like, yay, that's what you get.
And will the terrible thing that happens be Dave and Connor winning?
Yes. Dave and Connor winning.
No, what do you mean? Something bad will happen to them? Like they get lost and then they lose?
Yeah, I think they've kind of been showing us that, like, you know, this, like, in the beginning, it wasn't that bad with the Brentschels, and now, you know, kind of they're being annoying again, and nobody likes them, and they're kind of getting this bad edit heading towards the end here, and I think it's probably going to get worse. We're going to see them somehow screw over Dave and Connor maybe again, and then Dave and Connor are going to win.
But wouldn't that be a fun finish to the end to have a Dave and Connor versus the Brentschels race to the finish?
Yeah, I mean, it would be great, but I just would want the Brentschels to win it.
Yeah. I was just a little bummed out that I kind of felt like that the whole accidental alliance, like Dave and Connor versus Brentschel thing was just over this week. And I didn't really feel like it got resolved. It was just like that nobody was mad about it anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. It was an accident. That's basically what it was. It was an accident, and nobody really stuck to it. And even the Afghanimals, they were in it because they were sitting there, and they were like, oh, yeah, let's get rid of the Brentschels. Like, they didn't really think that.
Okay. All right. Well, Marie, thank you so much for coming on with us today. That you were absolutely fantastic and a lot of fun, and you kept it real the whole time. That's all we ask.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. I see that we have a hashtag that Alicia on Twitter wants to know, at Reepsicle, Tim is so lame and oblivious. How could you have ever dated such a pushover loser? Why do people have to say mean things on Twitter?
What am I supposed to say to that? I mean, this is why we're not dating.
Yeah, say, how dare you, Alicia? How dare you? Okay. All right. So thank you so much. Follow at Reepsicle on Twitter. Will you be live tweeting the finale?
Yes, of course.
Okay. And what kind of things are you going to be live tweeting?
Just my unfiltered thoughts, of course.
Did you have any good tweets from last night if I go and look?
Yeah, I had some good ones, I think. Okay.
I think my favorite, I had a favorite one that you did last night. It was when Connor mentioned he was an Eagle Scout. You just posted this whole series of emoticons and, like, you don't say.
Of course you're clever.
Of course he is. Of course he is.
Yeah. Seems like you have a lot of conspiracy theories on the Twitter.
Yes. Yeah. I usually wait until the whole episode is over, and then I give just like a couple final thoughts. But I will definitely live tweet for the finale.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. Follow at Reepsicle on Twitter to hear more from Marie. And I hope you still watch the show next season.
I will. I promise.
Okay. Oh, well, that's better than we could have expected, right, Jess?
Yeah, that's I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. All right. And then tomorrow on Rob Has a Podcast, I just recorded a really fun interview this afternoon with Jason Somerville, who is a professional poker player. We were talking about Survivor and a whole bunch of other stuff. So that's going to be up on Rob Has a Podcast on Tuesday. And then, of course, lots more to do as we get into Survivor on Wednesday. So make sure you subscribe. RobHasAWebsite.com/iTunes or click the podcast tab for all the different ways to subscribe. And then on Sunday, get ready for our coverage of the amazing race finale. It all starts with our amazing race wrap up on Sunday night, and then all the way into 1 week from right now when Jess and I are going to be live taking your questions. Plus, I'll have interviews with the final three teams as well on Monday. So very, very busy week ahead on the amazing race. So have a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.